Religion Today with Martin Tanner. A weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. Glad you're out there listening. Today's broadcast is based on a conversation that I had with some friends this week about the exact meaning of Section 8 of the Doctrine and Covenants and why some of the verses were changed. Let me give you a little background if you're not familiar with this. Initially, what we now read as Section 8 of the Doctrine and Covenants had a little bit different wording. Currently, it says that Oliver Cowdery was given the gift of Aaron. The very first version of this verse, or of this section, was the 1835 Doctrine and Covenants, and it referred to the powers of revelation that Oliver Cowdery should use as he began assisting Joseph Smith in the Book of Mormon translation. In the first printing, it didn't just say the gift of Aaron, it referred to Oliver Cowdery's, quote, gift of working with the rod, close quote. And it also talked about this rod of nature. And so there have been those who have said, rod of nature, this was a divining rod, something along those lines. Well, the problem with that point of view is that just as he did with so many other things, Joseph Smith used contemporary phrases with very different meaning. And the key to understanding precisely what Joseph Smith meant is easily found in verse 8 of this specific section, it's verse 9, where it says that whatever you shall ask me to tell you by this means, talking about this rod of Aaron, that will I grant unto you, and you shall have knowledge concerning it. And so what's being discussed here is something that would give knowledge about whatever was asked. The specific context was scriptures, but it talks about anything else. Divining rods were used for very limited and specialized purposes, none of which had anything to do with translating scriptures or other revelation. It's something quite different indeed. And so the interesting thing here is the use of the phrase rod of nature. I think that was used by Joseph Smith because it was a common phrase, but he associated it with something quite different than the way divining rods were utilized at the time, which was to find water or some buried object. He associated that phrase with the rod of Aaron that we find described in the Old Testament. The gist of this section really focuses in on the use of a physical object so that Oliver Cowdery could obtain revelation. In other words, this rod that Oliver Cowdery had that was analogized to the rod of Aaron in the Old Testament was something that Oliver Cowdery could use to get revelation on doctrinal matters. Now, somebody might say, well, that's really rather odd or different. Actually, it isn't. Physical objects have long been used from the earliest days in religion as a means or as a catalyst, perhaps, of having some supernatural result, obtaining revelation from God, something along those lines. Let me just give you a few examples of that, because there are many. The first one is the use of the ancient Urim and Thummim. It's discussed in many places in the Old Testament, but one of the more fascinating is in 1 Samuel in chapter 14, verse 41, where it's talked about in a way that it's clear this was used for obtaining information from God. Scholars who've looked into 1 Samuel 14, 41 say that these were physical objects that were used to inquire of God, and God would give an answer. They would inquire of Yahweh or Jehovah certain things that they desired to know the answer to that were beyond their abilities, and the answer would be given through the Urim and Thummim. Written descriptions as well as ancient artworks let us know that the Urim and Thummim was something that the high priest in the book, described in the book of Exodus, could place in the breastplate that was worn by the high priest over the ephod. There are many cases, including chapter 10, verse 22 of 1 Samuel, and also again in 2 Samuel in chapter 5, verse 23, where the Urim and Thummim was used to obtain revelatory answers to questions posed to Jehovah. That is quite fascinating. We don't know exactly what the ancient Urim and Thummim looked like. However, there are some fascinating traditions that say that the Jewish flag, the center of which is the Jewish star, which is comprised of two triangles, represents the ancient Urim and Thummim, which, according to this tradition, was two triangular-shaped white or clear stones that were used to see the answers to whatever questions were posed to Jehovah. And that, to me, is quite fascinating, because that tradition about the Jewish star was not known to Joseph Smith, and his description of the Urim and Thummim was that it was comprised of two clear stones through which he could see. And in some of his descriptions, he said they were marvelous, that he could see anything. That, to me, is a fascinating comparison that has no explanation other than the divine supernatural one. Then we get to Moses' rod and Aaron's rod. We sometimes think there's just one, but there were two. Moses had a rod that he used to guide his flocks. It was a sheep herder's aid. Later, it was carried by him while he wielded authority over the Israelites that he had from God. We read about that in several different places. The rods of both Moses and Aaron were endowed with miraculous power during the plagues of Egypt. God commanded Moses to raise his rod over the Red Sea when it was to be parted. Aaron cast his rod down and it ate up the rods that turned into snakes that were cast down by the servants of Pharaoh. And so both Moses and Aaron had rods. They were both used to accomplish miraculous things. Then we get to another fascinating object in the Old Testament, which was used to obtain very specifically information from God. The Ark of the Covenant, also known as the Ark of the Testimony, is a chest described in the book of Exodus. It contained tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments were inscribed. It had pieces of manna, which were kept. And according to tradition, it also had copies of the books of Exodus, Numbers, and letters to the Hebrews. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Ark of the Covenant and other miraculous objects. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
If you're just joining us, today we're talking about a discussion that I had with some friends about Section 8 of the Doctrine and Covenants, which has had some wording changes in it that were made to dispel some controversy. Today it talks about the gift of Aaron, which was given to Oliver Cowdery. It originally said that Aaron was given the gift of working with the rod, and it was described elsewhere in that section as a rod of nature. But the key in verse 9 is that it was used to obtain revelation, not that it was some kind of divining rod or something along those lines. And from there, we have started to take a look at some other supernatural objects, or perhaps natural objects, that could obtain miraculous results as described in other places in the Bible, to show that this is something that is not unique to Oliver Cowdery. The first example that we gave was the rod of Moses and the rod of Aaron. We also then talked a bit about the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where we're going to take up again with our discussion. Incidentally, if you have a question or a comment about this or any other program, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond. If you have criticisms, question, comments, whatever about this or any other subject, happy to answer. Love to have emails. So the Ark of the Covenant was this box that was described in the book of Numbers. And the fascinating part of it is that it had two cherubim on it. Cherubim being the plural for cherubs, or that's kind of the ancient way of saying angels. So it had two angels on top of the ark. These were representations of angels, not actual ones. And inside it had, of course, these amazing things that were of value to the ancient Israelites. It had some manna. It had the stone tablets upon which Moses wrote the Ten Commandments. It also had the book of Exodus, Numbers, and a letter to the Hebrews, not to be, of course, confused with anything Paul wrote. Also, we have a description in Exodus chapter 25, verse 22, that God communicated with Moses from between the two cherubim, the two angels, on the ark's cover. So the ark itself was a physical object by which Moses could directly speak to God and directly receive answers to questions. It was an amazing physical object that would get revelation, like Oliver Cowdery's rod described in Section 8 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Then we have another supernatural object that we find described in Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. Moses made a bronze snake, archaically in the King James Bible, a brass serpent, a bronze snake, and put it on top of a pole. Then when anyone who was bitten by a snake looked at the bronze snake on the pole, they lived. Pretty miraculous event. Catalyst, a bronze snake on a pole that was made by somebody. Then there are some fascinating New Testament ones, and we only have time for a few. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, we have this amazing story about someone coming to Jesus and saying his daughter was at the point of death. Please, please come with me. And so Jesus goes with this man, and there's a huge throng of people. And at that point in the story, it says that a certain woman who had had an issue of blood, what does that mean? She had a huge bleeding problem. Perhaps she was a hemophiliac. Who knows? Whatever the problem was, she had been bleeding on 12 years. That's a long time. And she'd suffered many things. Many physicians had tried to heal her. We can only imagine what they tried in those days. Things got worse, not better. Then she heard about Jesus, and she said in her heart, if I can just touch his clothes, I believe I'll be made whole. And so what happened was she reached forward. In the King James Version, it says she touched the hem of his garment. Well, what really happened, according to the earliest translations, is that on the robe of any Jewish man, especially men with authority, you have these tassels that are significant in ways that we're not going to describe today. And those tassels were what this woman reached out and touched. And she was made whole immediately. And according to the description, upon this happening, Jesus realized that, according to the King James Version, virtue had gone out of him. A better way to describe that would be that power had gone out of him to heal her. And they discuss it. He asks who touched him, and everybody says, what do you mean? There are all these people around you thronging, touching you, and you're asking, who touched me? And finally, the woman comes forward and the story comes out. Another supernatural thing that occurred, this time not revelation, but a miraculous cure by someone touching a physical object, in this case, the tassels on the robe that Jesus wore. Here's another example of supernatural objects being utilized for miraculous purposes, or perhaps, if you prefer, ordinary objects used to obtain miraculous results. In Acts chapter 19, verse 12, Paul apparently had handkerchiefs and aprons that, when they touched him and then were taken elsewhere to those who were sick, the illnesses of those who were sick were cured, and the evil spirits left them. The gist of this description is that, according to Acts chapter 19, verse 12, handkerchiefs and aprons were a catalyst for healing, if they had touched Paul at this point. Then we have another New Testament example in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, where it is said that those who overcome will be given a white stone. There's a purpose to the white stone. It has a new name written upon it. And according to historical tradition, they were used to obtain revelation from God. It sounds very much like the Urim and Thummim, and like, anciently and more modernly, the one that Joseph Smith also had. That brings us to contemporary times, because it's not just Oliver Cowdery's rod of Aaron that had miraculous qualities to it and enabled revelation. Joseph Smith himself described the Urim and Thummim that he used, and he also described his seer stone. For a while, when the 116 pages were lost, Joseph Smith translated after they were brought back with the seer stone, and for a while the Urim and Thummim. We don't know exactly how much of which. The seer stone is actually in the possession of the church today. The Urim and Thummim was taken away by the angel Moroni. The seer stone, according to contemporary descriptions with Joseph Smith, was a small, sort of chocolate brown colored stone about the size of a hen's egg, an egg that you would buy at the supermarket. And the shape is described as being somewhat like a high shoe of a woman. So it kind of shaped like a woman's boot or shoe with a heel. And that is the description. All of these objects, Old Testament, New Testament, and described in early church history, are miraculous in nature. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner.